would love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
The mailbox is full and cannot accept any messages at this time. Goodbye.
Greetings to the automatically deleted husband, and yet another week of the mailbox being full, which does not encourage me. There's a bunch today. So I sent the card to Jack today, and I'm just asking him if he knows that I'm trying to contact him. Because again, he contacted me, I responded, but his emails bounced, so what do I do? But speaking of postcards, I got a postcard myself to Miss Dorothy Jane Koslowski. Remember our first date 34 years ago? I still like miso soup, and you even more. I love you, I love you, I love you, your man. Oh, but another postcard to Glory Jane. It's covered. Anyway, to Glory Jane. And yet another one to Charlotte. And it's covered. But anyway, Granddaddy loves you. These came yesterday. But today, another postcard. This one was to Glory Jane. Please contact your dad at john@koslowski.org. Love, Dad. Because apparently she's, I'm guessing it seems to be she's a high school graduate, and I figured maybe she would be willing to contact her dad. Who knows? But, speaking of cards, there are these cards. And I gave out a few today. One is, I got a phone call. I asked to get my boots rehealed and asked to have them done by Saturday, tomorrow. And... brand new heels, and look, brand new, untouched. I haven't worn them yet. Anyway, I got a phone call, and the guy said, we're not going to be open tomorrow. So, moments later, I had the other boots on and was on my way because I wanted my boots for Sunday. But on the way out the door, I looked out the window, and I saw, is that a squirrel? Or is that a, wait a minute, that's a little dog. And then I went outside and there were the other dogs. My neighbor had three dogs. Now they have four. tiny little thing. And went out, talked with the neighbors a bit. And in the conversation, I was reluctant to do this, but I gave him a card. And it was interesting. So I wonder what will happen with that. But then I got my boots. And I was thinking, do I change? Because usually what I do is, because the other boots, they're in sad shape. But I decided I'm not going to change. And instead of, I'm a rational human being, right? So I took a just over 3 mile round trip to pick up my boots. Nah, let me add another 5 miles to that just to get bananas. Brilliant. So I did. I walked the Greenway, and of course, there was the chin-up bar. And I did a clean chin-up. I got up, and I did because I'm finding trouble to do more than one. But what I do is I get my chin above the bar and try to rest there for a bit. And I did rest there for a couple seconds. But anyway, went to Publix. Pleasant interaction. But, near Publix is this Livingstone Church. And I decided a while back with the cards, I said, I've emailed them in reference to this. I filled out their online form. And this time, unlike a year ago, they were silent. So I said, what I ought to do? If I walk by there and there's no one in the parking lot, I'll take a card and just, because it's a doubled glass door, slide it through the door. And the last time I went to Publix, parking lot was full. Left Publix, and they're just around the corner. And as I was turning around the corner, here's somebody driving out. And I felt the Lord say, "You're gonna have to leave a card." I need to make a note here because there's something else I need to add to this. So I didn't take one. I took two and just stuck it, you know, the double doors, stuck it in there and it kind of stuck. So my guess is more than likely it'll be ignored. But I did it. And just because what I found fascinating is I felt the Lord's blessing on the trip, starting with the chin up. After I get off the greenway, I walk kind of on a gravel road that gets me to basically a fire department. And as I was walking by there, a couple of deer bounce across the gravel road. And I stopped and watched that for a moment, which, you know, I thought was neat. I thought it was just really neat to see that. And from there, I go through, it's an elementary school. It's basically the playground, and I go to the side of it. And when I went there, I saw what I think, I just saw it briefly, and it looked like it was a big raccoon with two babies. And it's kind of like, you know, just, I normally don't see, because obviously I'm in Cleveland. on the greenway, I've seen deer before. But just to see the animals was really kind of neat. So I did Publix, did Living Stones, and then I took the back road. I didn't take Peerless because I would have seen Miss Lillian, but she should be in Nashville right now entering a race, you know. So, and Lord willing, she'll do well. So I took a different route that I occasionally take, which goes up a hill. And I went up the hill. I think it's about an 80-foot hill, if I recall. And I go up at a pretty big clip. And I realized, yes, you know, it's hard to do that hill at the speed I do it. And kind of was huffing and puffing by the time I got to the top. And I realized I am planning to do basically a roughly 25 of those hills someday, but not at that speed. You know, I did this 8-mile hike, and I did it at a fast pace. So no, not tomorrow, not Sunday. But when I got to the hill, top of the hill, I turned around and looked, because from there, one of the things you can see is Big Frog Mountain. And I went and looked, and I said, you know, perhaps Sunday I'll be at the top. You know, it's just, there's a joy in that. And to be able to see it. And, of course, be reminded that going uphill adds some work to a trip. But the encouraging thing, too, doing an 8-mile hike, and I was fine. It was no big deal. I kept the pace the entire way. I mean, I was moving. It was easily the 4.5-mile-an-hour pace, easily. Perhaps more. So I'm grateful for that because it encourages me that I can do that Sunday, 11 miles, but it won't be at that pace. Clearly, no, it won't be at that pace. No. But anyway, after the frustration of yesterday, to have that today was a joy. And there was one other thing before I left. One of the things I did in the last, unfortunately, it took about 2 months, is I wanted to make sure the logging within Shofar Nexus was consistent, whether it's the startup, the boot logging, whether it's handling the low-level messages, handling an email message, handling a web query, web page request. It's the same log format, same tools, very consistent. And I did some stuff that was clumsy. And I tried to clean it, and in the process introduced a couple errors. And that was a problem. It was a big problem because the demo machine was unstable. And that was a big concern. And just before I left on my hike, it was stable. The logging is working consistent. And I felt really encouraged because that allows me to return the focus to other things, because that really cost me some time. But, you know, stability is important. Because, and of course, the reason the logging is so important is I'm trying to do it where I can pass this to somebody and somebody can say, I see what happened. I see, without having to learn how this part works and that part works, they all work the same way. And so when I want to look at something, I use the same tools, the same technique to see what's happening. So I don't need to, you know, learn all sorts of different ways. It's the same technique all around. And it gives me, it lowers the threshold for somebody to look and say, oh, either I'm being messed with or I'm confident this is safe. You know, both of those things. Or I'm developing something new. So, you know, that's vital to me. And of course, for me to be able to say, look, I want to make sure this works. Because again, the important thing is, if this does get out, somebody's life may depend on it. And I don't want to mess here. No mistakes. And so that's why it's cost me, I've been a lot of mistakes in the sense of time. But when somebody uses it, it has to be no mistakes. It's a big deal. But anyway, so that was a lot of encouragement. Tomorrow's the farmer's market, where, you know, Saturday, where usually there's a lot of interactions and so forth. And there's a couple I'm anticipating that Lord willing, will be very good. So there's been a bunch of encouragement. I do feel I'm coming to the end of my rope. And one of the encouraging things I heard from Chris today is he said, yeah, I understand that. But I've watched so often how the Lord brings you through these. That was an encouragement. That really was an encouragement. That really was an encouragement. But one other thing. My title, what is written in the law? How do you read it? You know, like a normal guy laying in bed at 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever it was when I was thinking, I was thinking about the passage, love the Lord your God and I love your neighbor as yourself, that is repeated several times in the Gospels. And I was thinking, but not always by Jesus. And I didn't have it clear in my mind, where was it said by someone else? And it was, I couldn't think of it. So I did wait till I got out of bed and I checked. And it wasn't clear in my mind. I did not remember where it was. And when I found out where it was kind of like, oh, it was right here. The Good Samaritan. And that really hit hard. That hit hard. It was kind of like, oh, because, you know, it's the setup for the Good Samaritan. Luke 10:25. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. And then the story of the Good Samaritan. But there's a couple things that really stood out. One thing is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. In Deuteronomy 6, where this comes from, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, but not mind. And this was not Jesus adding this. This was this gentleman saying it. And I remember I looked a while back because I wondered, is it something added or is it in the New Testament, in the Old Testament? And yes, I think it is. And I can't remember where. But, you know, it's not in Deuteronomy 6. But I think the idea is there. So when this guy said it, it's kind of like, it's not Jesus changing. But then again, think of the context. Behold, a lawyer stood up. And I think the problem we have in English, just like I talked about some of the connotations of what we see in English, a lawyer stood up. So we think a guy who would go to a state court, that kind of lawyer. That's not what he's talking about. This is someone in the law of the Lord. In other words, a religious leader. Not a lawyer in the sense of the state law, but God's law. That's the context of the term lawyer. And I did check in because the meaning of the word is clear. It is that kind of lawyer, someone who knows the law of God. But so that's who he's talking to. And, you know, it is interesting, obviously, when Jesus asks him the question. This lawyer did not have the New Testament to refer to. He had the Old Testament, the Tanakh, or the Septuagint. That's all he had. And he came up with these passages. So it's not that he had heard that Jesus had said that this is the important stuff. It's irrespective of the face-to-face interaction with Jesus, he knew this. He knew this from the Old Testament alone. That I found fascinating. He understood from the Old Testament, from the Tanakh or the Septuagint, that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. He understood that before Jesus adds the with all your mind elsewhere, because it was already in the Old Testament concept. And the other thing is, we tend to think of the important thing, the laws, as the Ten Commandments and the stuff around that. He didn't do that at all. He went to love the Lord, love your neighbor, as the important things. What to do to inherit eternal life. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery. No, love. And I found that fascinating. Because one of the things, because, you know, we talked about this many times with Chris. There's this connotation with a lot of people. The Old Testament God is the grumpy God. The New Testament God is the loving God. No, the Old Testament God shows love and grace fantastically, over and over again, remarkably so, in so many ways. But either way, the thing that I found so great was the lawyer, the person who is, who knows the law of the Lord, without having the New Testament in hand, knew. It's not the Ten Commandments. It's not the 600 and whatever. What's the word? Is it Mishnah? No. But anyway, you know, the specific laws that they find in the Old Testament. It's not those. It's love. The Deuteronomy 6, Leviticus 19. That was understood from the Old Testament by people who knew the law. I find that fascinating. And of course, Jesus confirms it by saying, you have answered correctly. And, you know, do this and you will live. One of the things that we discussed, because I did discuss this with Chris today, one of the things that do this and we live, it's not that you earn something, but it's not that you have kept the law in the sense that I haven't killed. You know, because the example I frequently use is, you know, I'm a sinner on Friday night, I go out and kill somebody. And, you know, maybe that's not a good thing. I should repent of that. And by the way, I use it as an example. It's not something I do. But, you know, but that's, that would be obviously a clear example. That's not a good thing. But it's not the Ten Commandments as anywhere near as much as it is the two. Love your Lord and love your neighbor. That's do this and you will live. Because we, you know, we fail. You know, it's if you look at your brother with hate, you're a murderer. And have I done that? If I say no, I would be a liar. No, because I know, especially as an immature follower of Christ or pre-follower of Christ. Oh yeah, that was there. Absolutely. No question. So in that very real sense, yes, I have committed murder. Murder in my heart. And it's something I strive not to do. My focus now is love, including the love your enemies as discussed yesterday. So anyway, the to see this was marvelous. It was a great thing to see, especially the fact that you didn't need the New Testament to see this. You see it in the Old. Plus, to see that as the preface to the Good Samaritan. Because, again, the Good Samaritan is someone who does an overt act of love, even when it costs him, such as Mr. Tamal when it cost him his life. I find that a great model. Anyway, so tomorrow's a farmer's market. Lord willing, I'll have some delightful interactions. I'm grateful that Shofar Nexus is back to stable, I think. I've put it on the Shofar Nexus site and as well as the demo. And I did not put it in kozlowski.org because I figured I'm going to let it wait for the weekend to make sure that something doesn't show up and it's kind of whoops. Especially considering since the kozlowski.org site has been announced to a lot of people, I don't want to mess with it as I have in the past. But so, farmer's market tomorrow. There may be some interactions. Oh, and, you know, I had my normal Friday, my milk and eggs was dropped off. And not one, but a stack of these was delivered to the couple that delivers that to me. And they, oh, we should also drop it off here. So I really wonder. And, you know, I really think Chris is more optimistic than I am on this. A connection's coming. Oh, one more subtle thing. That little dog that my neighbors have acquired, now they have four. You know, I have said I've had a placeholder or a name for a gentleman that I may work with on Shofar Nexus or Shofar Leaks. And the placeholder name is Charles. Because, again, in, you know, communications, the standard thing is Alice sends a message to Bob. And then when you need a third party for the examples, the name is Charles. So I use Alice and Bob constantly, and I chose Charles as the placeholder name for someone I may deal with. The dog's name is Charlie. It's kind of like, so it's just another subtlety in this day. I felt the Lord's encouragement. So Lord willing, tomorrow there'll be good interaction at the farmer's market. And then Sunday morning at 7:30, I anticipate a car driving down my driveway, getting in the car with a gentleman roughly 40 years my junior when I was at the farmer's, picking up the boots. The gentleman I was talking with, he says, yeah, you know, when I was in my 20s, I was helping a guy on a farm and he was driving a tractor and I was doing some, you know, manual stuff behind him. And he said, enough is enough. He stopped the tractor. He said, you drive the tractor. And he would do it because he was doing it so much faster. And he was 68. So the guy showed him up, this young guy. And I thought, okay, that's a great model for me because I'm only 67. But I am going to deal with somebody in their 20s tomorrow or Sunday. he did say he's not in the best shape. I don't, you know, he does, he's not obese or anything of that nature. So he looks like, you know, he'll be fine. And he does do hikes. So my anticipation, will have a great hike. And it looks like there's a possibility, especially of afternoon rain. But my hope is before noon, by noon, at lunchtime, as people are celebrating lunchtime on Sunday, Lord willing, at that same hour, I'll be at the top of Big Frog Mountain. And of course, I can go to Chris and say, you've been up there four times and so have I. Important things of life. And it is my hope, just like I do with Chris, on the way up, we have really deep, serious dialogues on theology. And I'm hoping something like that will happen with this gentleman Sunday. Usually the trip back is, where's the car? But anyway, I'm encouraged about today. I'm grateful. You know, the cards to the people who drop off the milk, card to my neighbor, the cards in the door at Livingstone's, the Russian church. One of these days, somebody may say, I want to be a part of this. And let me remind you, when I recorded the modern day slavery video, I did the one section that I had to do, I think it was at least three times, was the passage about needing somebody to mentor to take over the project and make it their own. Because when I did that, I broke down to tears. Because I understand the cost somebody will pay if they take on this project. You know, it could be in a variety of ways. One example would be Oleg Melnikov, who freed 1,900 slaves, and it cost him his life. I can't give up. Just like in reconciliation, I can't give up. My lady, my wife, your husband, Lord willing, will be doing jumping jacks, hopefully, at the top of Big Frog Mountain Sunday. And as I've done each time, because I've videoed it, I do remind you that I love you. And Lord willing, I'll do that again Sunday. So the guy you married, who is a bit older than you are, made a promise to you that he would do what he can to live to be 90. A 67-year-old making an 11-mile round trip and a half mile up is someone trying to, what would be a good set of words? Oh yeah, keep the promise. My lady, my wife, I love you and I want you back.